Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Angie's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a punch key's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. And true currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees. Our business is people and their love for trees. If Mike says he's growing a pear, he's literally growing a pear. What did you think he meant? Get your minds out of the irrigation ditch. Here he is, Mike Novak. Right.
Testing, 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 testing. Are we live?
Is this thing on?
Barely. Excuse us, folks. The computer decided to melt down at the last second there, as we went on the air. It's the way things work around here sometimes. We have no control over it, so we play a little music and then a little funny Christmas thing, and then we come back, and, you know, computer could crash again. I don't know. I just work here. I just do my thing. Okay. Well, we'll try to get on track here.
Plus, it's exceptionally warm in the studio.
It's exceptionally
today.
Warm because there was 7,000 people on our town this morning, all in the studio at the same time.
And it's only 60 degrees on December 2nd.
Well, and I think word is out that there's free beer on the around town in the morning.
Well, is that why there's that line outside?
Yes, I'm certain that's why.
On Milwaukee Avenue? Oh, well, you know, maybe we should bring some of those guys in. Maybe some of those guys are IT guys. Maybe they could fix a computer in here.
Yeah.
Do we have an IT person on board here?
I've been Googling it all week. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to get my IT on.
Cool.
Why not?
But we're live, and this is how we prove we're live. No recorded show would ever start as clumsily.
Yeah.
And, of course, that is Denny Sheeter there manning the phones. We keep them separated by glass.
No phone calls, by the way. They're doing good.
That's good.
Yep.
That's kind of normal. And Lisa Albrecht, our alternative energy expert, is here in the studio. And good morning.
Good morning.
Sarah Batka.
Hello.
And I brought a camera because I wanted to take pictures of all the people who are going to be here, including Dr. Rex Bastian, who's sitting opposite me. And, of course, the batteries ran out the minute I turned the camera on.
That's okay. We have a backup plan.
What's the backup plan?
Well, Sarah has batteries that we could put into your camera. Otherwise, I have a camera in the parking lot.
Oh, well,
we'll
then
figure
we should get it. We should get my camera then.
No, it's in the other room.
It's in the production studio.
And yeah. I got an iPad. I could take pictures.
Oh, well, maybe we'll have you do that too.
Yeah.
And one of them ought to come out well.
One of them.
I mean, I have all these people in the studio today. Like I said, Dr. Rex Bastian from The Care of Trees. Wait.
Get it. Get the ding.
Get the ding. My wonderful sponsor, The Care of Trees. He's here to tell you about your tree problem. So I tell you, get the phone number. Write it down. 773-763-9278. I didn't bring my tea in here either. I can't believe that.
I'm on it. I got it.
It's in the other room as well.
I don't know why, but I can get my tea. Anyway, I'm getting
it. I think it's sitting right there where I left it. See? Total chaos. Total chaos this morning. Dr. Bastian is going to talk to us today. You're worried about your trees. 2012 was a strange year in terms of weather.
Mike, I was in the yard this morning or yesterday.
Yeah.
And my daffodils are coming up.
That's early.
Isn't that terrible?
It doesn't surprise me.
It hasn't finished being strange yet.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. Here we are. What's the temperature today?
It's in the 60s.
Is it? Rick DeMaio weather, 945. I might have to bring him in. Did you find that thing? Oh, she's got it. Great. Might have to bring him in a little earlier. So the two of you, Dr. Bastian, you and Rick DeMaio can geek out a little bit on meteorology.
I love being a geek.
Well, you know, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings. You kind of are.
Yeah,
you're a PhD.
I'm an entomologist.
You're a PhD in entomology.
Okay.
That means bugs, kids. He's a bug guy. Oh, thank you. Look at, I have all these people doing things for me, bringing in my camera, bringing in my tea. And I'm much better now. But you are, yeah. But that's good. That's why I have you here, because you know stuff. And not just about bugs, but obviously. How long have you been working for the Care of Trees?
Well, it'll be 24 years in January.
Oh, my goodness. That is a while. That's good. You know, that means they must like you. They must like your geekiness. And then in the second hour, we are going to have our commuter farmer, Kim Marson, who I've been communicating with for over a year now. I think it's like a year and a half. And she's coming into the studio. And we'll talk about Sweet Home Organics, which is where she, I'll ask her about the weather. We did several weeks ago, we got sort of an end of season report. But, you know, being a farmer in 2012 was not the easiest thing in the world. I know we're going to talk about trees, basically. But
well, I'm a farmer, too. I have a farm in Iowa, so.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your farm.
Been with my family for almost 100 years and is passed down through the generations, so.
What do you grow?
Corn and soybeans. It's 40 acres of conservation restored prairie, and then we swap 100 acres of corn and soybeans each year, all no-till.
Wow. That's great stuff. And the conservation part of it stays?
Yes. Yeah, and it stays. That's
And is that part of a government program to encourage you to do that?
Yeah, it's through the National Conservation Resources Service, and they help take, land that may be better served by being restored into native habitats. So it's a federal program. That
yeah, no, I know
assist.
That. I was aware that that's part of what farmers do now. Try to take parts of their land and turn it into conservation areas. Is that a successful program? Do you know?
Yes, it is. There's as you drive through many places in the Midwest, you'll see a lot of that. Land that has been taken out and putting into those programs. There's some concern now because of the higher commodity prices that there's going to be more pressure to.
There's always
take
pressure
some
on
of
that. Yeah, let's
take that out. But
yeah.
I'm planning on keeping mine.
For you. Well, there we go. I'm going to give you a ding. Dr. Rex Bastian from the Care of Trees, and then in the second hour also Jennifer Walling from the Illinois Environmental Council, the General Assembly. Passed a funding increase for the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. And as you know, we've been talking a little bit about that, or a lot about that on this show recently, mostly in terms of Starved Rock State Park and the attempt to build an open pit frack sand mine right outside the eastern entrance. And I'm going to see how that affects what's going on there. Have you figured out how to make that thing work, Lisa?
I'm working on the Zoom.
The Zoom is...
But we have power and...
oh, look at that.
Everything. I even programmed the date for you.
Oh, my goodness.
So now I'm the one geeking out.
That's right. Talk about geeks.
It wouldn't let me move on until I did it because I didn't really care about the date.
So that's a big show. 773-763-9278. I want to start with you, Dr. Bastian. We talked earlier about the crazy weather this year. And I keep telling folks... I keep telling folks a couple of things. One, it's been really, really dry. And even though it's cooler, and it's not that cool today, but you notice we didn't really have any rain last night. We had some spritzing, and that was about it. Last I heard, we had Pat Skatch filled in for Rick DeMaio last week, and he told us we were 9 inches short in this area of moisture. Does that sound about right to you?
I would certainly seem logical. We certainly do need some rain to restore some, some of that soil moisture back in. Of course, we still got the winter to come, so actually knowing what type of snowfall we get this winter, but we can hope we get some snowfall. I know people don't like it, but we
no,
really,
I love snow.
Really
I want snow.
It.
Are you kidding me? I want snow. I'm just afraid we won't even get warm enough to see a flake. We haven't had any measurable snow yet, which is amazing. We are December 2nd.
Yeah, I think I heard it's approaching like the third longest stretch of no snow without, snowfall. I think I heard that somewhere on one of the...
You know what? I'll bet Mr. DeMaio has some information on that, too. The point I guess I'm making is that as the trees go into dormancy in the fall, they still have the ability to take up moisture as long as
they still have root activity. There's still root activity. It begins, the tree activity begins to shut down when you start getting temperatures below 50 degrees. But even in the Northeast United States under snow cover, you can still find, you still find activity going on down in there. So they still have the capability of drawing moisture out, even though it looks like the trees are dormant. They're not completely dormant. They still function underground. What we see above ground is different than what we can see going on below ground.
Is that different with conifers?
Well, conifers
or
still,
evergreens actually.
Right, the difference there is because our deciduous trees have lost all their leaves. There's very little moisture stress or less moisture stress placed on them. But our conifers, because they still have their foliage, on these warm days are still transpiring water into the air. They're still moving water from the roots through the foliage. So they oftentimes are more at risk of extremely dry, cold, wind-blown conditions in the winter because their foliage can still lose water and can result in winter burning or winter drying that we'll commonly see in the spring after a cold, windy, dry weather when soil moisture may be not sufficient in the ground. That's why watering conifers, even at this time of year, can be very beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose watering any of your trees, especially one that was planted in the last several years, it's still small.
They're still small. There's always a priority of risk looking at different trees. The trees in really good situations are always going to be less harmed by drought in the long run.
When you
run.
Say good situations.
Well, good soil, good healthy root systems, healthy trees, good soils, adequate moisture. But as you go to harsher locations, smaller available root areas, trees in parking lots, trees in planters, trees that have had roots damaged, newly planted trees, because it's all about root systems and that ability to draw water from them. And anything that can reduce our root health increases the likelihood that tree may suffer from any type of conditions, drought being one of them.
So if somebody has, let's look at the two different kinds of trees there in the broader sense, conifers and deciduous trees. What kind of regimen would you put people on? If they have both, what would you tell them is the best thing? You said water, but should they have the drip hose out?
It really comes down to the amount of water, and it's too much because too much water can be just as bad as not enough.
And of course, it doesn't evaporate as quickly when the weather's cooler.
That's right. So prevention is always one of your, just like any health practice with us or trees or anything else, prevention is typically going to help us more than trying to fix something once it's gone bad. So mulching, doing things that help conserve moisture in the first place so that it isn't lost, is going to be more beneficial than trying to fix damage once it's occurred. So looking at somebody that's got a conifer, if they're on a site and you go out with a little shovel and you dig around the root zone of your conifer and the soil is bone dry, it would be very beneficial to water now.
We actually have calls coming in, and I invite them at 773-763-9278. Let's go to line one, and good morning. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Are you speaking to me?
Yes, I am. Wow, oh. you got a radio voice,
well,
too.
You didn't identify me. I wasn't sure.
You know what? Because I don't know your name.
Yeah, well, it's at the bottom there. Sorry, I meant to tell you that.
Oh, it's on the bottom.
Yeah, computer issues again. Fran in Oaklawn.
Hey, Fran, how are you? There, you know, I was looking at the top where you usually put it, and it's at the bottom.
Yeah,
that's you know, but that's par for the course today on this show. Okay.
Mike.
Yes, Fran.
You are cooking this week. This is why I listen to you guys. I'm on my way, in about another hour, I'm on my way out to mulch and water trees on, well, young ones anyway, on 10 acres that I bought down near Piatone. I've been converting it to prairie and woodland and wetland for quite a while now. I wanted to ask, though, I've read a couple articles about chestnuts and how they're hybridizing and doing other sorts of genetic games with them. And I wanted to plant a couple of them on my property just for romantic reasons, not for money or anything, just a couple. And I was wondering if your guest could advise me about, you know, keeping survivability in mind, where I might get seeds or seedlings.
Well, first of all, Fran, let me congratulate you on having land that you're planting trees on and doing your part for biodiversity. And speaking of biodiversity, the chestnut, especially the American. Now, you were thinking American chestnut, Fran?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, you can tell us about that, Dr. Bastian. That's Dr. Rex Bastian from the Care of Trees. It pretty much got wiped out in the beginning of the 20th century in America.
That's right. Yep. There was a disease, chestnut blight, that was very, very devastating. It's pretty much wiped out the American chestnut. So a lot of what you're seeing with the chestnuts now that are going to become available at Christmas time are traditionally hybrids between the American chestnut and the American chestnut.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
between which two, the American and
Oriental, a Chinese chestnut and an American chestnut. They hybridized because the Chinese chestnut had resistance to the fungus that caused the disease.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to, you know, we do have Chinese chestnuts that also produce the nuts, but I know they're looking at, and I'm not a specialist in this. I believe there is a chestnut society that if you would Google that on the internet, you'll be able to find sources of these trees, because we have chestnut growers that are trying to do some of this hybridization and bring these trees back. I think there was just a story in one of the Sunday papers 3 weeks ago on the chestnut, the people that are growing the chestnuts for to supply the market.
Yeah, I've read about that where, they're playing with the genetics a little bit. Mm-hmm. And not every single chestnut tree died, was lost. And so they're looking at the genetics of some of the trees that have survived
as well, right?
To see if there's something in them that makes them resistant.
Yeah, I know where there's one growing up on one of the ledgy areas next to the Mississippi River, because they bloom in June.
Mm-hmm.
And very showy flowers. So, I was just down up there, and you could see one blooming up on the bluff. It's obviously just an escape. It was so isolated that it made it through the
blight.
The blight, right. Yeah. And now the question I would ask about what Fran's doing is, does he want to try to get, does he want to try to get a hybrid?
Well, there's the rub. If you've got the ability to try several different things, because on your site and on your soils with what you have, if you can, it's always good to mix things up anyway, rather than going with, I don't know how many trees you might be thinking of planting, but rather than planting all of one type,
you're putting
all your eggs in one basket. So mixing up your types of chestnuts with maybe some different hybrids, maybe some different species, and seeing which one actually performs better on your site.
If I live that long.
Yeah, if you live that long. Well, that's
Remember,
we're always planting trees for the future. We're not planting them for us.
And if you get one that survives and it has the right genetics, and then you're passing it on, then they'll name it after you, Fran.
Okay, fair enough.
So it sounds like it's worth a try. It sounds like you might try several varieties and see. Go to the do some research on the hybridization of chestnuts. And in fact, if you come up with something, Fran, I'd really be interested in what you find.
Yeah, I figure I'll plant between 5 and 10. And your advice to vary is that's wise.
It's always good to mix up your plantings, always.
You know, one of the commercials I do for the care of trees on this show, I give a bit of advice at the end of the spot, which is I say to know what kind of tree to plant, see what your neighbor has, and then plant something different. Right, exactly. So that's Fran, congratulations, and thank you for calling, and good luck, and keep me posted on this, okay?
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye. 773-763-9278. Amy is on the line in Downers Grove. Hang on, Amy. I will be with you in just a second. Again, you can call him. We're talking to Dr. Rex Bastian from the Care of Trees. He's an entomologist, but he knows a lot of stuff, okay? There's just a lot he has to offer. And if you've got tree care questions, 773-763-9278. Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center is bursting with holiday cheer and everything you need to decorate both indoors and out this holiday season. Heck, it's all they can do to keep the stuff from spilling out into Dempster Street and Des Plaines. Live trees, artificial trees, containers, accents, and gifts for every gardener. Can't decide what you want? Order a Lurvy gift card online today, and then you put it off. Or you can get one for a friend. You might also consider joining the free Lurvy Garden Club. Why? Well, from now through this Friday, you can take advantage of Garden Club exclusives. 20% off holiday ornaments, amaryllis bulbs. What was it that Fran said that, not that I'm on a roll, but something like that. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, you're cooking the show
Cooking this morning, really. I'm cooking myself. Anyway, the amaryllis bulbs, Christmas tree stands, 8-foot birch poles, gazing globes, and 7 to 7.5 foot pre-lit artificial trees are all 20% off if you're a Garden Club member. And like I said, it's free. And you still have a chance to create your own winter containers at Lurvy's Winter Container Workshops this week. One on Tuesday at 1 p.m. and another next Saturday at 10 a.m. Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center, 2550 East Dempster in Des Plaines, just 1/4 mile east of the Tri-State Tollway, I-294. Go to lurvys.com and don't forget to like them on Facebook.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too. Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687, for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
And then your friendly announcer says that, you've gotten the most out of the holiday season when you make a visit to The Growing Place in Naperville and Aurora. Check out selections, 8 types of garish garland, 15 types of greens, branches, glittered, bleached, and natural birch poles, branches and logs, 12 types of preserved eucalyptus and lemon leaves, pine cones in many sizes and colors, unique and fun accents. The wreaths, swags, and containers created by their design team are truly spectacular, complete with bows, cones, and accents. If you don't see what you need, you can place an order. Their fresh Fraser fir trees in sizes from 2 feet to 10 feet are absolutely perfect. Pick up a pine-scented soy candle. I found out that the soy candles, and it's not soil candles, as I said last week, but they're pine-scented. So that sounds good. And they're exclusive to The Growing Place. and a customer favorite. Or make your own centerpiece at their class on December 15th at 10 a.m. in Naperville. I love the fact that these great garden centers, independent garden centers in the Chicago area, have these classes you can go in and do your stuff. And I'm happy to let folks know about it. The Growing Place in Naperville and Aurora. Go to thegrowingplace.com for directions. The only challenge is the Growing Place's holiday hours. You will have to get there between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. Monday through Saturday, but it's well worth the effort. Visit once, you will want to visit again, and you know what? You're probably going to bring a friend.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
No, that's not the one I wanted. I thought it was going to be the one. I know you guys.
We were all ready and ready.
I know you were, and I realized that I had the
gremlins here today.
Yeah, it's just there's nothing. Let's wait a second. Let's go to hold on.
This is worth it. Absolutely.
No, not. I don't have it yet. I got to tell you, I don't have it.
Next break,
I will make sure that I have that song. But for now, let's go with this one. Oh yeah.
Couch for Christmas. One you call my very own. One on which a girl could retire with an occasional piece in front of the fire. So Santa, don't you be a grouch. Please send me a casting couch.
So, how's that do?
That's great. I don't know what a casting couch
is. Me either.
I know what a fainting couch is, but I don't know what a casting couch, Dennis.
You don't know what a casting couch
is?
No,
it is, right?
Actors. What?
Audition.
It's
so it is what it sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I should have guessed knowing that an actor was playing
exactly.
That for us.
It's the Mike Novak Show in Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And casting couches are very progressive, I guess. Now they're regressive. Dr. Rex Bastian from the Care of Trees is in the studio, and we're taking your calls at 773-763-9278. Let us go to the phones again. And Amy in Downers Grove, you're on the line. How you doing?
I'm well, Mike. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. And I'm seeing a note here. It says 100-foot tall something or other. What would that be?
Well, there are a dozen 100-foot-tall oak trees in our yard. And my question is, should I be watering those trees now?
That's a very good question.
Okay.
Whoops. Hold on. Let me.
Oh, there we go. Okay. First thing to do is to go out and check and just see how much water we have. You may want to go out and just actually take a small shovel or a spade and go out into the area where the underneath the crowns of the trees and actually do some digging down there. Dig up. Are they in lawn? Are they in mulch? Are they just out in the lawn?
They're in lawn.
Okay. So it's you always kind of tell people it's kind of like your house plants. You know, you stick your finger down in the pot to see how much moisture they need.
Mm-hmm.
And outside, it seems like we're kind of adverse to actually checking. So to go out and take a narrow shovel and dig in there and get some of that soil out and actually feel it, just see how dry it is. And if it looks like it's dry to you, then it in over the next couple days, if we don't get any more rain, then it certainly wouldn't hurt to water.
Okay, very good. And then how about aerating the turf? Would I be damaging the roots, the oak's roots?
If you're using one of the commercial aerators that the turf folks use, no. They usually use a core type rather than a tine type that pulls out a little plug of soil. And, you know, for deep aerating, sometimes if we knew that there was an issue with your trees because there had been soil compaction or something, construction by them, that type of lawn aeration helps, but it may not be quite enough for the trees. But unless you know that you had some specific construction activities or something that may have compressed the soil around the trees, the core aeration will not damage the trees in any way.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
Well, sure. Thank you for calling, Amy. We appreciate it. And the question I would ask, and Amy's talking about having lawn around her trees, there have been studies that show that lawns and trees don't get along that well.
Well, there is a conflict there. So generally we recommend the idea to bring the forest environment back to your trees. So that's where we would recommend, the application of an organic mulch. And oaks will respond to that very, 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 very well. And the other thing that the mulching does, properly done, is it gives us a great hedge against future drought. It's part of that prevention mechanism that I talked about earlier. Drought helps reduce the impacts of drought on trees when it's properly done. So that's why, because you've got to, given we have roots of the trees mixed in with roots of the lawn, and they both want water. And so there's this dynamic between them that if we can go to an area and say, which plants do I most value? Is it my trees or is it my turf? And then manage that soil.
Not a question at all.
in an answer with, well, let's do what we can for the plant that we most appreciate.
And as Amy said, she's got 100-foot oak trees. Those trees have been around for a while. You don't get those in a week. Or let me put it this way. You don't get those in a year like you can get with a lawn.
You can get with turf, right.
With turf. And it works both ways because the turf is going to struggle under the shade of the trees as well.
That can be an issue. That can be an issue, too. And so oftentimes that's a win-win situation. If your trees are such that you're having trouble establishing the turf that you want, then rather than dealing with the mud and everything else that grows in those situations, then apply mulch. And a lot of times looking at your landscape, you will see where the turf will fade out and where the mulching will be most beneficial. You can almost see it with your eyes looking at your site.
Okay.
So I my advice is always, in regard to turf, when in doubt, rip it out. it's take the opportunity to put a mulch ring around your tree and, put it out as far as you want. People say, well, should it be 3 feet? Should it be 6 feet? It's like, I've seen it out to the drip line.
Sure, I'll take as much as people want to give. The other thing is you can just cover up the turf. You don't actually have to rip it out, because then some people will think, well, I have to tear it out, or I have to sod cut it out.
Yeah, that was just this. It's a matter of speaking.
Smother it. A lot of times if you want to mulch over a well-established turf by using something to setting your lawnmower on the lowest setting and really scalp it down and then mulch over that.
Do you advise putting newspapers on top or just throw the mulch down or what?
You can do that. Once again, it kind of comes back to if you're applying a 4 to 5 inch layer of mulch, you can typically go right over the top of the turf that's there. Mm-hmm. I know that's what I did at my place. That essentially will smother out the turf, plus that organic matter that was in the turf will then decompose and help, as a soil building agent as well.
So. Mm-hmm. That's Dr. Rex Bastian, entomologist from the Care of Trees. We're taking some phone calls, 773-763-9278. I see we got a couple more. I got a posting on Facebook from Annie Haven out in California, who listens to the show. Hey, Annie. And this is dated November 29th. Okay. Just so you know, it says, the drought. A new report shows that the nation's worst drought in decades has worsened for a second straight week after conditions had improved for more than a month. Nebraska, which has a greater portion in the worst stages of drought of all the states, was mostly stable for the week. The weekly U.S. Drought Monitor report from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln shows that 62.7% of the continental United States was in some form of drought as of Tuesday. That's up from 60.1% the previous week. The portion of the lower 48 states in extreme or exceptional drought also rose from 20.12% from last week's 19.04. So 20% of the continental United States is under extreme or exceptional drought. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's I know they talk about different weather conditions that are setting up that with the flow of the jet stream and everything that is influencing this. So, of course, successive droughts in a row are always worse than individual ones. So since we had one last year, you know, we're just hoping that we'll get a little bit of a break going, you know, going forward. You know, the rainfall that we have had has been very spotty, too. Some areas get it, some areas don't.
Right.
We even saw that here in the Chicago area last year with real heavy rainfalls in certain locations. You go 10 miles one way or another, and they didn't hardly get anything.
So. You know, and then it's amazing that you get some flooding conditions, and that compromises a tree, and then you go right into drought, you know.
Well, there are some of those concerns that once you have root injury from drought and then you go to extremely wet conditions, that in some cases that wouldn't be the most desirable situation either. In other words, we don't want to go back where we have just tons and tons of water following a time when we might have root loss or root death in the soil, because then there's that possibility of getting other root-related disease that gets started in the excess of water, and that's not a good situation either.
Yeah.
So it's always, you know, it's the Goldilocks things, you know, not too cold, not too warm, just right
just
is what we're looking
right.
for.
All right, let's go back to the phones. And Judy in DeKalb, you're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How about you?
Good. I'm great. And I think I know the answer to this question, but the slim chance that I don't, I thought, why not ask an expert, since my husband's told me that there is no hope for this tree. I have a 100-foot, it's a poplar tree. And it has been food for four sheep that have decided to eat a band about 4 feet up all the way around the tree.
Yeesh.
All the bark.
Sheep.
Yeah,
so
four beautiful sheep. And I didn't notice it until about a week ago.
Okay, so you think it's a poplar, correct?
You know, I just decided that, yeah, because I have about another half dozen of them, and it looks exactly like the rest.
Okay, and so you've had some livestock, and they've chewed the bark off
all the way around the tree.
All the way around the tree.
About 2 feet, if you're going up on the tree.
Okay.
From a foot up to about 3 feet up or so.
Yeah, that is not good, because if they chewed down deep enough down to actually dig through the part of the tree that produces the new growth increment every year, it's called the cambium. If they've chewed down through that, the tree has lost its ability to connect the root system to the top of the tree.
And how would I know that looking at it?
Well, you'd have to look down to see, did it actually chew through the bark down into the wood that's underneath the bark? In other words, if you would go up and, you know, the part of the bark that separates easily from the stem underneath,
that's gone.
At that junction is that critical tissue.
Okay, they've probably got that thing.
Yeah, they've got that.
I'm looking at a real bare piece of, it's a smooth piece of wood.
And it's wide and it's all the way around.
All the way around,
yeah,
yep, pretty much all the way around.
That's what we call girdling a tree.
That's called girdling a tree. And it's called girdling. You know, sometimes you'll see people that they just remove that strip of bark.
And there's a cherry tree 12 feet from it, and it's chewed a little off that, but not the rest of it. So they must like the poplar for some reason.
That could be. I'm not sure. Sometimes it's a sugar content, things in there that they find attractive. But what you might find is the tree was this all done over a very short period of time this year?
Yes, this year.
Okay. So had you just had that tree been with the sheep for a long time and then all of a sudden this happened?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they might have just found out, you know, animals learn. And so if they learn they like something there, then all of a sudden what you may find is that tree will leaf out next year.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps, but then with the onset of hot weather, it'll suddenly just brown out.
Yeah. Okay.
That would almost be what I would expect.
Because it's not going to be getting nutrients.
They could long term they
long-term,
may have enough to store.
That's what I was saying. Yeah.
And poplars and willows, you know, they're pretty tough. They can be pretty tough as far as their moving water around within them. But with that wide of an area and all the way around the tree, that's a lot for something to aim
at. We are suspecting that they have not had enough pasture, and sheep need pasture. And because there's not enough pasture this year, they decided to go for this.
Sure.
Graze on.
Yeah. And do you think that was part of the drought, too, Judy?
Well, I think just not enough pasture, probably. Okay. I don't know about the drought so much as we just don't have a big enough pasture.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, yeah. I'm sorry about your poplar.
That doesn't sound good, but
yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks.
All right.
You guys have a good day.
All right, you too. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
773-763-9278 is the phone number. Actually, let's get Mr. DeMaio on the line, because I'm sure he wants to jump into this conversation. Brad is in Arlington Heights. We'll get to him in a second. The reviews continue to pour in about the Christmas trees at Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center in the Ukrainian village of Chicago. Here's a tribute that was just posted on Facebook. Quote, thanks. Greatest and biggest tree we ever had, 13 feet and as fresh as it gets, end quote. Christy Weber is proud of the trees they have in stock, from 2 to 14 foot tall, Fraser firs, Douglas firs, concolors, and more. Whatever you need, they'll set you up with the perfect one. And like I said before, mention the Mike Novak Show and get a free delivery and free pickup after the season. And yes, they will recycle the tree. Folks keep telling them that they have the widest variety of poinsettias in town, or poinsettias, as we sometimes call them. With so many different colors to choose from, you'll have to stop by and see for yourself. And Christy Weber just opened her wild bird department with everything you need to bring the birds to your backyard this winter and every other season. Join the holiday fun at Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center, 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian village. And by the way, they were just awarded a People Love Us on Yelp certificate.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Song.
Thank you. Thanks. Like, that's awesome. I think that might be my new favorite Christmas
song. Your new
song.
Favorite Christmas.
We were dancing to the entire length of the song last week.
Yeah.
Off the air.
Okay. That's Lisa Albrecht and Sarah Batka. I'm here with Dr. Rex Sebastian from the Care of Trees. Have we got Rick yet? You working on it there, Denny?
It's ringing.
Okay.
Going to keep on trying.
Okay, cool. Let us go to then, while we're waiting for that, let's go to the phones. And Brad in Arlington Heights. Brad, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Yeah. Hi. I have a similar problem to the previous caller, but no sheep involved.
All right.
I don't know what to do. That's why I'm calling. I'm looking at the tree right now. It's about a foot up from the ground. The bark is falling off. It's making its way around the tree. The bark is just going away. And there's a crevice that goes another 2.5 feet up from where the girdling is, with a kind of a hole into the wood.
Okay, do you know what kind of tree you have?
I'm pretty sure it's a maple. All the leaves are down now, but when I was looking at it before, it looked like maple leaves.
Okay, so you're seeing a part of the trunk where the bark is falling off, and then it looks like there's a crack or...
It's a crevice, yeah. It's more crevice than a crack.
Okay,
yeah.
There may be... you know, it's so hard without actually seeing things to know what you may be dealing with.
Right, that was going to be my next question, too, but go ahead.
Yeah, so what you might have is there could be a dead spot underneath where that bark is falling off. It could be narrow, it could be wide, it could have been from injury that happened many years ago. It's very difficult to tell without actually seeing it. So what I would recommend to really find out would either be to contact a certified arborist that could actually come out and take a look and tell you what may be going on. Because is this a large tree, small tree?
It's at least 30 feet tall, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe 40.
Because depending on how extensive the injury may be, based on what you can see or what may be going on underneath, we may have some decay concerns as well.
Well, there's definitely one spot that every year, a couple times a year, these giant fungi grow.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, that definitely would indicate that we've got decay inside the tree. We don't necessarily know what kind of decay we have, and certain types of decay fungi can be worse than others. But with a tree where there could be the danger of it failing and hitting something or someone.
That's exactly what, I live in a condo, and our condo president told me that is a definite more than possibility. So.
Right. That's why my recommendation would be to have a certified arborist come out and take a look at it that can kind of evaluate that situation and look at what we've got with the tree and what's in the area and provide some recommendations for you.
I know.
Or your condo association.
Yeah, well, I'll probably go through them, but maybe I'll call on my own to get the ball rolling. But it's going to be very sad if we lose this tree because it's a nice shade tree,
sure.
And I
think
it's west. And
but that's why you want a certified arborist out there, especially if it's makes an impact on your property. You want to have the person who knows what they're doing come out and take a look at it and give you recommendations.
Right, because there will most likely be some options, and what option is best for you, the arborist, his or her responsibility is to provide you with good options so that you can make a decision that works best for
you.
And
I know sometimes working with condo boards is tough, and that's also just another obstacle in the way. So
if I have to foot the bill, let me ask you one more thing.
You know what? I'm sorry, Brad, but I got to get to Rick DeMaio, who's standing by. So what I would do is contact the Care of Trees. If you have the opportunity, and you can talk to them at 847.
Care of Trees?
Yes, the care of Trees.
Okay.
847-394-4220.
4220. Okay, great.
And one of their arborists would be happy to chat with you about this. Right, Rex?
Is that Arlington Heights around in there?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because that's where I am. Great. Okay, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay,
thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Let's go to Rick, you're on line 7 today. You should be impressed.
Well, that's what happens when you call me 6 times and I don't pick up. I get shipped to line 7.
That's right. It's all we had left. How are you?
Great. Nice October morning, huh?
Oh, my goodness. You know, Dr. Bastian's here in the studio, and we've been talking about the weather and how crazy it is. He actually brought in some charts from NOAA. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Never heard of them.
And I thought it might be something you've looked at. It's sort of what they're predicting in terms of temperature and moisture in the next year. Now, I know it's long range, and you don't like to deal too much in long range.
No. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with long range as long as it doesn't go beyond 14 days this time of the year. But, if you go back, Mike, you know, over the last year, the magic number is 24 inches, and that's how much less rain we've had this year compared to last year. Isn't that amazing? 24 less inches of rain in 2012. Yeah, and this is going down as one of the driest January through November periods ever. And, you know, I'm actually out for a walk right now. I'm on the lakefront at Dempster and Lakeshore, right in the Evanston area. I'm looking out on Lake Michigan. It's down almost 16 inches from what it was last year. Now, you know, what implications does this have for, you know, for obviously, you know, the growing season next year? I still think that, you know, is yet to be, you know, determined. But the bottom line, as far as, you know, the temperature maps that your gentleman there next to you had, I forgot. I didn't get the name, Mike.
Rex.
Yeah,
Rex,
like the
okay.
dog.
Hi, Rex. Nice to meet you. It does show us generally remaining above normal temperature-wise and below normal precipitation-wise, at least for the next 12 to 14 days. And, you know, any time that you can take the first 2 weeks of December and basically write them off as, you know, non-winter, I think that goes down in the books of anybody living in Chicago. As that's fine with me.
Well, yes and no. I mean, it freaks me out a little bit, to tell you the truth.
It does freak you out when you wake up on December 2nd, you go for a walk, and you go, you know what? It's nicer here than it is in California right now. You know.
And the other thing, we were talking about is the lack of snow.
Right.
Was it you, Rex, or somebody else?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I said we'd like to have some, you know, rain or snow. If we have rain, we take some snow. And I know people don't like to mess with it and everything. But still, that can, you know, so some good snow cover will help replenish some of this moisture. You know,
you know what I think what we need, Rex and Mike, more than anything? I think we need a good solid 2 to 4 inches of rain before we get the snow cover and before we get, you know, the frozen ground. Because I've seen this before in the past. If you go into the winter season, and I forget which winter it was, Mike, it may have been 4 or 5 years ago, where we had an extremely dry fall, and then we got really super cold in December and January with no snow cover. And I think the permafrost went down almost 6 inches, and it really had an impact on a lot of the tulip bulbs that people planted, maybe only 4 inches. So what I would like to see is about 2 to 4 inches of rain between now and maybe the end of December that can really soak into the topsoil, and then you freeze it up, and then you get the snow cover on top of it. And I think that'll be the, you know, the perfect beginning of winter. But, you know, if we go through, I believe it's the 6th or 7th of December without any snow, which obviously we will do, that'll make the longest period of time without measurable snow we've ever had in Chicago, dating all the way back to the 3rd of March when we had that, you know, really incredibly warm March. So not only lack of snowfall, but also lack of precipitation, I think, is everybody kind of scratching their heads, Mike, correct?
You say it looks like we're not going to have that snow, and you're hoping for that precipitation. Do you see it on the horizon at all?
You know what? Still nothing in the way of any significant rain. Even the stuff that comes through here, you know, tomorrow evening into Tuesday may only yield maybe a half inch to three quarters of an inch. But outside of the low 60s and a couple of sprinkles that we had today, which is basically over with, we're looking at temperatures in the mid to upper 60s tomorrow. Record high for the 3rd of December is 71 degrees. And strangely enough, I was looking back at the records on this date, Mike, back in 1978 was really the beginning of the end of the Mayor Michael Blandick reign, where we had 8 inches of snow. And that was the beginning of what went down as the snowiest season ever in Chicago. We had almost 90 inches and basically kind of swept Blandick out of office and Mayor Jane Byrne into office. And clearly we don't see a winter like that happening again, but nothing in the way of any cold and snow happening anytime soon. Just maybe some showers and some thunderstorms coming in here tomorrow night, but still very, very mild conditions. Again, for the rest of the week, the temperature generally in the 40s. So very, very strange for this time of the year.
It really is. It's I'm kind of hoping that we get some cold weather at some point.
Yeah, but I would still like to see the rainfall before the cold weather. I'd like to get some of that rain kind of soaking into the soil.
And, Rick,
and I think that'll be beneficial without a doubt.
Another thing I'm kind of concerned about is if these mild temperatures keep up, and then we would, you know, get so far into December that we would catch a extreme cold snap.
Right. Well, you know what, Rex? There's a lot of cold air up across central areas of Canada. I was looking at a couple places in Manitoba and northern Ontario just a couple of days ago, well into the minus 20 to 25 range. And typically when you get mild weather for a long period of time with what's called a zonal jet stream, you build up large areas of cold weather, and typically you'll always end up, I wouldn't be surprised if a month from now, we're complaining about how cold it is. Yeah.
Okay. We're out of time. Rick, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care, Mike.
All right. Enjoy your walk. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rick.
Dr. Bastian, thank you so much for stopping by.
Certainly.
Really appreciate it. From the Care of Trees, if you need a great arborist, that's a place you want to go, and you're always welcome back. We'll do it again.
Great. Anytime.
All right. Yeah, we've got more questions for
you. Yeah, we got plenty of questions. Second hour, commuter farming on the Mike Novak Show.
Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business's people and their love for trees. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
That is Aretha Franklin, believe it or not. At least that's what it's telling me on here. So, kissing by the mistletoe. That's not typical, Aretha. Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show. Are we okay over there? We're just lining folks up.
We're all set and ready to go.
Are we ready to rock and roll and bring in somebody that I've been talking to? How long have we been talking now, Kim?
Years.
Years and years, I know. Just too long.
A year and a half, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I think. It's about a year and a half. Kim Marson, who was chief cook and bottle washer at Sweet Home Organics, along with some other people, along with your partner, Rachel.
That's right.
And who have you brought with you?
So we have one of our CSA members.
Uh-huh.
Her name is Kathleen Gray.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hello there. Nice to be with you.
You can pull that down a little bit. That's okay.
Right,
don't worry.
Perfect.
There we go.
How's that?
After all this time, I wanted to have Kim in the studio simply because I wanted to. It's time you came in. It's kind of the off season for you.
It is.
So what are you doing in the off season?
You know, it's a funny thing. I grow my nails. Because you can't have long nails if you're working with the soil.
I guess you can't.
No.
You can, but there's dirt under them.
Yeah,
that, you know,
and then I might damage the zucchini. It's kind of important not to damage the zucchini.
You know, that's actually a good point.
It's honestly, no employees can have long nails.
Really?
It's kind of a superficial thing, and I was being funny, but yeah.
I have filled in at the farmer's market and hope that people don't notice that I just damaged the produce as I throw it into a bag.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a real point. No, so what are we doing in the winter? So we're reviewing everything that's happened during the season, catching up on QuickBooks. I honestly haven't done QuickBooks since June or July. You know, just
neither
enough to,
have I.
Yeah, just enough to get the sales taxes attended to.
Just enough for me to get in trouble. You know, basically,
yeah.
Look at it. I guess I really need to do that.
Yeah. So getting caught up on things, and then it's also a great opportunity for us to get out and do PR or you know engage with potential customers. And yesterday we were at the State Line Farm Beginnings and communicating with
yes.
them. Yeah, that was really awesome.
Now, did you take that course before you started your own farm?
Yes, sir. Yep. 2008, 2009, Rach and I completed that program.
So you're graduated 2008, 2009, and that's through our good friends at Angelic Organics Learning Center. What was that like going back and actually teaching a course yesterday?
I was visibly giddy. And
lack of sleep, was that it?
No, it's an adrenaline pump, you know. These people want to hear what I have to talk about, and it's the new crop of farmers that are coming through, and there might be things that I could offer them to help them be successful. So it was really invigorating. It honestly was.
I want to set the scene here for
sure.
People who are listening and you know, kind of coming in mid-conversation a year and a half down the road because not everybody listens to the show every day or every week. But the idea is that you kind of started this yourself in 2008, 2009. What was the genesis of the idea that you wanted to farm?
So it started really, Rach and I were CSA members. Mm-hmm. And
that's community supported agriculture for those who don't know. And the idea is that you buy like a share, you pay the farmer up front and then you get their produce, or meat or whatever the CSA happens to have all during the season. And it's a win-win because you get fresh produce, they get a little operating capital, then you either have it delivered to you or you pick it up at a drop-off location.
Correct, yep.
And it's a certain term, usually, what are the various terms?
You mean like full share member, half share? Or what do you mean?
No, I'm thinking like how long it goes on.
Oh, yeah. So you have a summer season, which is usually like 18 to 22 weeks. It's, mm-hmm. It ranges. And then some farms will have a spring share and some people will have a fall share. Mm-hmm. And they'll kind of piggyback on that summer season. But most farms for sure do the summer season.
So you started as a CSA member.
Right. And also I worked in a law office as an office administrator. I wasn't a lawyer. And it was both Rach and I were on this quest to how to be more engaged with life, and we weren't feeling like, I wasn't feeling like my job was doing that for me. So we found a course called Farm Dreams with Angelic Learning Center and took that course, and it turned our brain into sausage. And because, you know, you have this passionate romantic dream, but do you have the skills? Do you have the resources? Do you have all those other components? And
farming's hard. And, you know, as Eddie Albert used to say in Green Acres, it's hard work.
It is.
Want to get my hands dirty.
Right. And I was so annoyed when people said to me that it was hard, because then I thought they were saying to me that I couldn't hack it. And so my little egoic self was mad. But
so you were good, determined to prove them wrong.
Totally.
And here we go.
Right. Exactly.
Was Rachel in that boat as well? Or did you both have that same passion?
We did. Yeah. For her, I think it comes more from, you know, wanting to live a sustainable life. I mean, definitely wanting more purpose outside of the job experience for sure. I mean, her job does bring her a lot of joy. She's really happy with the life that she has in that way. So, yeah. So we just jumped in. I started working on two farms for two seasons, and then we took the Farm Beginnings class, and then we found this unique opportunity out in St. Charles at the Park District there, Primrose, and we're their first incubator farmer, and it's a great setup. So they built an on-site farm stand, which hosts us, because you need a cooler, you need a pack shed. Like, just because you see all this vacant land, it's a lot more that resources do you require to be successful. So they were building the farm stand. It was kind of one of those instant communities because they were, they're a living history farm. So they have folks who are coming through, and visiting and being on site. So it just seemed like a perfect fit. So we moved forward with that, and, we just finished year three. So it's been a good thing.
Wow. And yeah. And so here you are yesterday, you're going to teach this course, and this was a marketing course that you were teaching?
Yeah. So
you're, you know, there's lots to farming, obviously. It's not
right.
Just growing stuff, because you got to sell it. You got to let folks know you're out there.
Right. So defining what kind of markets. Do you want to be a farmer's market seller? Do you want a CSA? Do you want a farm stand? Do you want to do wholesale? Yeah, so defining what your market is and then how to get the word out about who you are and what you do.
What kind of questions did you get that... What?
I'm trying to remember.
Oh, no. It's okay. I like the idea, though, that you were stoked. You went there.
Yeah.
And
I was pumped.
I guess the point I wanted to get to is looking around at those eager faces and saying, I want to do this. Did you feel like you were able to impart how much joy you've gotten out of it?
I think so. I mean, I think that comes across. I think so. It's interesting because we were followed by some other farmers who maybe offered the dose of reality that maybe you want to hear or don't want to hear. Like, you're not going to be rich. So be real clear with yourself about why you're doing this. This is a lifestyle. This is a way to connect with the larger community.
Wait. I thought that all farmers were rich. I thought that's why you do it.
That's why I'm here, Mike. I really wanted you to help me with that.
Can I count your money?
You can.
Okay.
This was the first year that I was able to pay myself a salary. and that salary translated to $6,000. But then once payroll came out,
Oh my God.
How do I live? Rachel Ann Recklow, my wife. Yeah. Honestly.
She supports you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I, you know, people, you know, get excited and say, well, you should do more. You should grow more. Well, it's economy of scale. You know, if we had a 500 CSA, you know, which is not our goal because we want to be connected and know our farm, our community that we grow for, we would need to have all this infrastructure. So you can get bigger, but then, you know, it means I need more labor. And I know that I'm not a good boss. Rachel's a good boss.
So, why are you not a good boss?
Because I'm not nice to myself when it comes to my to-do list. So that means I'm pretty harsh on the people who work for me. This isn't a good sales. This isn't a good advertisement for me to get employees.
No, 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 no.
Right?
We like Sarah, just pull that mic over though. If you when you want to contribute, it's okay. We're sharing microphones in here. And the other thing I just realized is I have not been on the internet for the whole show, trying to figure out why. So you know, I was going looking at the Twitter here and saying it's the same tweets I saw 2 hours ago or an hour ago. And I'm glad I got on because, you know, Snappy J Dog, in response to what you said, wrote, dude, I feel giddy listening to this segment. So
awesome.
She's giddy, too. And we got a tweet that says, love my CSA, Green Earth Institute. Yeah. Just got my last late fall share. So there's folks out there who do participate in CSAs, but you know, and we will get into that because we obviously have Kathleen here, who's a CSA, and I've you know participated in CSAs. I just think they're great things, but I'm so fascinated by that whole idea of the business and doing the farming. Mm-hmm. I mean, you say you're not a good business person. Are you a good farmer? Do you grow well?
Oh, I'm a good business person.
Oh, okay.
She's just not a good
boss.
I'm not a good boss.
Okay,
yeah.
You're right. That's a difference.
Sorry, I have a little pride in my business skills. No, I think I am a decent farmer. I mean, the fact that we were able to produce vegetables in a drought year, I think, signifies skills there for sure. But it's one of those, you're never going to learn everything. I mean, that's kind of the beauty and why I'm attracted to growing food is I'm not in control. You know, there isn't this to-do list, you know, in a sense of, you know, somebody sets a meeting and then now we have to write this report by a certain deadline. No, Mother Nature is defining it. You know, if it's raining, okay, that means I need to do this or I need to do that, something different. So I like that piece of it. And I like being more connected with the earth on a daily basis. So
can I let you in on a little secret?
Please.
There's no money in radio either.
Oh, man.
Okay. So don't try this gig.
Can I tell you something about this whole radio thing? You know the only vision that I – well, one of the main visions that's in my head about what I thought today was going to be like was the SNL skit with Alec Baldwin and the NPR radio show.
Oh, come on. You've heard my show, you know.
No, I know, but just like, you know, the ambience and the mental picture of like, you know, us all sitting in a room with these earphones on. Anyway, it was just a funny thing for me.
It is kind of like that, except it's not as nice as they portray it, you know. I mean, these studios are nice. These are, you know, but it's sort of, you know, you get sort of tucked away in a back room someplace with some microphones on.
Right.
So do your friends consider you a radio star, you know?
I don't know. I'll have to ask them after.
Well, they don't call you, immediately flood you when you're on the show with phone calls and... Okay, never mind. No. Okay.
They don't ask for my autograph.
Don't hurt my feelings anymore. Right. Okay,
listen. To the car,
yeah, they're all waiting in the car.
Oh, you brought them all. Actually, there's a bus. There's a right. bus out there.
Totally.
It's the tour bus, and
totally.
They all came into the city.
Totally.
So, you know, speaking as a farmer, you had a very interesting year. You know, obviously, we were talking earlier with Dr. Rex Bastian about tree care and what the lack of moisture has done
right.
to trees. And my gosh, I wish we could go for 2 more hours with him and just talk about that because there's so many questions. What about this year in the world of farming?
It was a challenge. We had a real hard time with all those direct seeded crops. So like carrots and beets, we had a beautiful time of them in the beginning of the season. I mean, the spring, like who could have asked for a better spring? But then when we needed to get all of those plants established for the fall, we had really spotty germination, so we couldn't really depend on them in ways that we had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that, and then we also, which we talked about in the last time I was on, with irrigation, just a simple thing of checking the filter. I did not take note, so new farmer needs to remember to check your irrigation filters because they might clog up, and when you really need to get water on your plants, it's a really big deal. And then I think the other thing that, you know, you had asked me when we were engaging over email before this, what have I learned or what has been involved in our learning process? And don't really get your soils nice and fertile before you start putting plants in the ground. Because I think to side dress, you know, like every time we plant tomatoes or any of the solanaceous crops, we're always putting some form of calcium in there. So, you know, if you side dress that, is that really down at the root area where the plants need them? So we were kind of trying to depend on that.
That's a really good point.
And
so you're saying you want to get that compost incorporated into the soil
before.
At the get-go.
Yep.
But you still have to side dress because that runs out of steam at some point during the year, right?
If you're doing your job right, no. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, yeah, of course you can always do that.
If it's fertile enough.
Right, yeah. I mean, I'm just offering that side dressing can be a crutch.
And, really?
Well,
because that's, you know, that's one of the techniques people say, you know, if you're doing it organically and you just want to go with compost, you're going to side dress at certain points during the year just to give that boost to the plant.
No, I guess what I'm offering is, you know, the aim would be to get your soils good and strong before you start going.
And how would you do that? How would you recommend that?
The same of the compost, absolutely, but get that worked in before you get your plants in the ground.
And what kind of compost do you use?
We buy ours in from Midwest Recycling, I think. They're up in McHenry.
Midwest Organics. Yeah.
Maybe? Yeah. I'm blanking on the name, but yeah, they're up in McHenry. Yeah, so we just get a truckload in.
Oh, no, I'm going to blank on his name. It'll come to me.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, because they're great. They've got great stuff. And they're well known.
Totally.
And
the reason why I brought up the side dressing piece is when we pulled up our plastic around our tomatoes, we saw all of this clumps of calcium that we were trying to get to our tomato plants that, since the fact that they were still clumped by the time we pulled the plastic, translated to me that the plants weren't getting it because it was sitting all right there.
Oh, okay.
So.
And I think you're talking about, and I'm finding it here, Midwest Organics Recycling.
There you go.
Which is compostmatters.com. Yep. They're located 40 miles north of Chicago. It's a great place to get stuff, compost, Kruger. First name. Ah! Okay.
Yep.
Okay. It doesn't matter, but there you go. We're talking to Kim Marson, who is with Sweet Home Organics out in St. Charles and an organic farm. You know, you were talking about the learning curve. What happens when you get to that point where you need advice?
Mm-hmm.
Do you go to the book? Do you have friends? You know, is it
all the above? Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, who are your farmer friends that you rely on for advice? I mean, I imagine you go sometimes back to Angelic Organics Learning Center.
Yeah, we do here and there, but mainly, you know, having gone through the Farm Beginnings course, you create a core group of people that you can connect with and you reach out to them from time to time. So I've got people that I'll text and say, what does this mean? I'll send them a picture, things like that. So Alex Needham of Radical Root, him and Allison do a great job. So we're pretty chummy with them, so we reach out to them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll do some internet researching here and there. Honestly, I'm not a book person. That's more what Rach might return to. But, you know, also thinking about the extension offices and things like that. So.
And I have a question that was tweeted to you. Did you have to make changes to your lifestyle due to the money, no money in farming?
Yes. Yeah.
She said wistfully.
Yeah, in ways maybe I don't want to, but I do. Yeah. No, it's hard to think of it in actual examples, but for sure, You know, making different choices. We don't eat out as much, but truthfully, I don't want to.
But you got, you're growing your own food.
I know, but you know what the ironic piece is? I don't have time to cook my own food. Isn't that the saddest thing?
I don't have time to work in my own garden most of the time.
I know. I have to make a commitment that I'm going to process all these tomatoes. So, and sometimes I barter with CSA members and say, hey, look at all these tomatoes. Process them, give me half, and you keep half.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's a, you know, as long as you're growing them.
Right.
What sort of things have you run up against being an organic farmer? Pests, diseases?
This year was awful with aphids.
Really?
Yeah. And this is a reminder that it's good to walk your fields or check your crops often, because we started seeing the aphid pressure on our brassicas, so our Brussels sprouts, our cabbage, our broccolis, all of those, and we let it get way too far. So it ended up that I had to rent a dumpster to come and pull all those plants, because here I was doing all this research to say, it's a bug, it can die. No, in truth, the information I got was that the aphids, if you have the eggs, they will overwinter. And who knows what this winter is going to do, right?
Right now, it's pretty warm, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, Rick was saying there's all that. I'm sad, too. Rick DeMaio isn't. He was walking along the beach, but
snow has a purpose.
Well, it's not just snow, but cold.
All of it, yeah.
It does kill off insects.
And but it won't kill off aphids.
Not the eggs?
No, it won't. And so I had to pull 200-foot beds of all of, you know, what I would have let just die out and become organic matter for the soil. I needed to pull it and get it out of there, because they were just nestled at the tops of the broccoli heads and cabbages. So if you imagine a Brussels sprout, it's basically, you know, just tiny little miniature cabbages, and they were just all infested all around them. So I couldn't sell them. And I tried. There was a couple of things that I could try, organic options, but they didn't do the trick. And so,
well, what would have been your organic option if you had acted upon first seeing the pressure of the aphids?
Great question. I hope to have that answer by next year.
Oh, so you don't? Because in a home garden, they'd say, you know what they always tell you? They always say, you take your hose and you spray it and you knock them off.
That's what I would have done. But the opportunity of where we're growing at, they turn off the water October 31. So that's another reason why we can't do season extension out there, because I can't guarantee water. Because it's
There's a drawback of not owning your own land, right?
10-4, right.
Yeah.
So I had our employee do the spray down. But on the Brussels sprouts, there's all these leaves, so she's spraying and she's not actually getting to the actual heads because the leaves are there.
I got an infestation last year on the Brussels sprouts, and I think it was aphids. They were just coated with the things.
They're like gray, powdery.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
That's what it is.
Yep. And they'll die, you know, like when you cook them, so they're not going to hurt you. You just got to have the stomach
for it. Well, think of the protein you get.
Whatevs. Yeah. Totally. Right. But yeah. And so the concern was the knowledge that I got. Sorry, my words aren't working today.
That's okay. Nothing's working on this show today. All right.
We showed up.
Yeah. You're here. That's good.
No, and he said that they'll overwinter and you'll see him next year. And so what's the worst thing is to have spring aphids, right?
Yeah, right from the get-go, because then you know you're going to have them all season.
All season, yep.
So
they needed to go.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if you saw aphids this year. Since you had the Brussels sprouts last year.
We had them last year, but this year the aphid pressure was not that. And I'm talking about our community garden. It wasn't like it was last year.
Okay.
But we didn't grow as many brassicas this year.
And that could be part of it, too, because we're only going to go after those. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we talked, just getting back to the insect issue, we talked about the blister beetles, I think, last time I was on.
Yes.
That was brand new. Never seen that before. And they say that in a drought year, you're going to see a lot more pest pressure than you would otherwise.
We're going to break in here just a second, but it's got to be a little alarming right now for you to look at the forecast and seeing that we're not getting the rain. Obviously, they're not going to get any snow for a while. Yep. Thinking towards the spring, if it's really dry, that's really tough to get going, isn't it?
Well, and I'll tell you, it's great in the sense that I can work the field, you know, because if you have a wet spring, you don't want to do any tilling and such. But again, I go back to, I can't do a darn thing about it. So.
and that is part of the whole deal with farming.
And that's honestly what I like.
Yeah. Mother Nature is just out there. And, you play the game with Mother Nature to the best of your ability.
And every year it's different.
Yeah.
So there's
no such thing as a normal year. No.
I had great garlic, but I had not so great other things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What were the good crops this year?
Oh, I was afraid you were going to ask that.
You didn't even write a note?
Cav can tell me.
Kale was really good.
Tell him.
The kale was really good. Tomatoes.
Yeah,
lots good tomatoes. And lots of tomatoes. Some peppers.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Green beans.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not onions? Remembering. Sorry.
Yes. No, that's
no,
okay.
No, we had bad onions, actually.
We had bad onions?
We had bad onions.
It seemed like a lot of them to me, though.
Well, good.
Kathleen liked them, so it's
I know, right?
Delicious.
Shh,
don't say anything.
Right, yeah. No, they need lots of water, those onions.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were little. They were smaller than other years. But, yeah.
You know.
What are you going to do?
That's right. That's Kim Marson from Sweet Home Organics out. And in just a second, we're going to talk about the CSA, how you can sign up. Are you signing up people for the CSA for next year?
Yes, sir.
I went online. You told me to, gosh, I haven't even called that up on here. You told me, oh, come on. Look at it, Mike. Trying to multitask here. Lisa, do a song or something. Talk for a second.
Well, I was actually just thinking that, you know, small onions are not bad for everyone because I'm single and I like little onions. So
totally. We got that feedback from one of our CSA members because they said that this was perfect for their meals.
Yeah, because I like it because I'm not feeding a herd of kids. And
right.
So it's nice to have, you know, so small's not always bad.
Totally. Well, and that's the other funny thing, too, about who's your customer. Like
right.
If I were a restaurant selling to restaurants,
right.
I'd be in trouble.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Different issue. Now, do they taste any different? Do you find a flavor difference between, you know, vegetables in drought and vegetables in a regular season?
I don't trust myself to know the answer to that because I feel like I'm swayed.
We've already established that you don't cook your own food. So.
I don't know, Kath. Do you have a sense of flavor difference?
This year I noticed that the potatoes, which weren't really from
that
your
we bought
garden,
in, yeah.
But the potatoes taste... Excuse me. The potatoes taste very different this year. They don't have as much flavor to them as last year.
I would say I noticed that from just picking up at the farmer's market. I don't know if I was introducing the thought in my head or if it was a real.
Do you think that's a moisture thing?
That makes sense.
Yeah, it certainly would. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Lisa. What I was going to say, and we'll talk about it when we get back, is Local Harvest, which is where you can find out where to join a CSA. And I'm going to give a report on Local Harvest about Sweet Home Organics. I found there's a rating on there. Okay.
Did I tell you that I made you soup?
No.
Today?
Yeah, it's in there. They said it was packed in here, so I didn't want it to spill. It's in the kitchen for you.
Go get it.
Yes,
Sarah and I were scavenging the counters and cupboards looking
if you've
for
got
anything
soup
to eat
there.
Today.
I don't have any spoons, but I have soup.
Oh, we got spoons.
Denny, yeah. You can help
I
her
got
with
her
that.
Back.
Okay, thank you. Denny's
right.
Always there to get the spoons.
Yay, Kim.
All right,
thank
cool.
You.
We'll try some soup in a second. You know you've gotten the most out of the holiday season when you make a visit to The Growing Place in Naperville and Aurora. Check out their great selections, 8 types of fresh garland, 15 types of greens, branches, glittered, bleached, and natural birch poles, branches and logs, 12 types of preserved eucalyptus and lemon leaves, pine cones in many sizes and colors, unique and fun accents. The wreaths, swags, and containers created by their design team are truly spectacular. If you go to their Facebook site, a lot of people compliment them on them. And they come complete with bows, cones, and accents. If you don't see what you need, you can place an order. Their fresh Fraser fir trees in sizes from 2 feet to 10 feet are absolutely perfect. Pick up a pine-scented soy candle exclusive to The Growing Place and a customer favorite. Or make your own centerpiece. They've got a class coming up on December 15th at 10 a.m. in Naperville. The Growing Place in Naperville and Aurora. Go to thegrowingplace.com for directions. Now, the only challenge you're going to have is The Growing Place's holiday hours. You will have to get there between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. Monday through Saturday. But guess what? It's well worth the effort. Visit once. You will want to visit again with a friend.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure. You're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life.
Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Did you know that prospective home buyers decide if they are interested in a home within the first 2 minutes of seeing it? Trees and landscaping have everything to do with that first impression, adding immensely to a home's curb appeal. They can add as much as 20% to a home's value. The Care of Trees can help you sell your home faster and obtain top dollar for it by ensuring that your home landscape is as attractive as possible. Even relatively minor expenditures on landscape improvements can pay off. Pruning, mulching, edging, and replacing damaged shrubs can make a big difference in the length of time on the market and the selling price. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Excuse me. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Lurvy Landscaping. Excuse me. There's a lot of people in here, and they're eating soup. And I'm I'm hoarse because I was caroling last night at a party with like a gazillion people in one room. It was very loud. I was playing The Bad Elf. I was we had our little gig, and man, sometimes it just knocks you flat just doing that holiday stuff, and the voice takes a toll during the holidays.
You're here, ready to go.
Here I am.
Studio's not cooperating with you, though.
Nothing's cooperating with me today, except Kim, and I can't wait to taste the soup. I will in a second. Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center is bursting with holiday cheer and everything you need to decorate both indoors and out this holiday season. Heck, it's all they can do to keep the stuff from spilling out into Dempster Street. Live trees, artificial trees, containers, accents, and gifts for every gardener. Now, if you can't decide and you want to think about it for a little bit, here's what you should do. Order a Lurvy gift card online today, or even better, get one for your friends or your loved ones. Sometimes your friends are your loved ones, as a gift. You might also consider joining the free Lurvy Garden Club. I am a proud member. Why? From now through this Friday, you can take advantage of Garden Club exclusives, 20% off holiday ornaments, amaryllis bulbs, including the gift boxes, Christmas tree stands, 8-foot birch poles, gazing globes, and 7 to 7.5-foot pre-lit artificial trees. Not bad. And you still have a chance to create your own winter containers at Lurvy's Winter Container Workshops this week. One on Tuesday at 1 p.m. and another next Saturday at 10 a.m. Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center, 2550 East Dempster in Des Plaines, just 1/4 mile east of the Tri-State Tollway, I-294. Go to lurvys.com, L-U-R-V-E-Y-S.com, and don't forget to like them on Facebook.
On this Christmas Eve, all over the world, American soldiers, sailors, Marines, and nurses are listening to this program as they have listened for almost a year past. But tonight, it serves as a link between them and us at home. We're all hearing it.
We're talking about your new favorite Christmas carol. This is my all-time favorite Christmas carol. It's the Klezmonauts. It's just too awesome. Now, I don't see you playing air.
You know, I'm just mesmerized. I picture someone riding a bike in this song here. In the studio, it's going crazy.
Air clarinet.
Aeronet?
Aeronet. There we go.
Let me get on it. Is this it? Would this be the clarinet?
This would be it, yep.
Okay.
You can handle it. All right. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And I've got Kim Marson here in the studio with friend Kathleen. What's your last name again?
Gray.
Gray. Kathleen Gray is here, who's a member of CSA. And on my left, I have soup. You guys are already eating your soup. Sarah, how is it?
It was delicious. Thank you so much.
It was. Oh, my gosh. It's got big hunks of potato in here.
Yep.
It's kind of a potato.
Yep.
Yellow carrots. I like the color.
And
what else
broccoli.
Is in here?
Rutabaga, celeriac, onions, a little garlic.
Rutabaga?
Yeah. What else to do with a rutabaga? I struggle. Right? We all have our vegetables. Rutabaga's mine.
Well, I have to, with the rutabaga in mind, there's something I have to play for you then.
You have to.
Yes. If I can find it. Rutabaga. Where's rutabaga? Here we are. We'll just... I think we can play. Let's bring this up here. We got it? Rutabaga? There we go.
Kim, what up, though? Shout out to my homeboy Ian Neal in Cardiff for breaking the world's records for the biggest vegetable. Man, I want to tell you something, man. When I do my show in Cardiff, I want you to come backstage and see me because I do vegetation myself, and I want to know your secret so I can show you my vegetables and see if you can grow that into a real big vegetable. So Ian Neal from Cardiff, come see your boy Snoop Dogg. I got two tickets for you when I get to town. You dig?
See, that was the large...
I love that.
That's Snoop Dogg talking about the largest rutabaga in the world. All right.
They do grow big.
All right, here we go.
Yep.
Try some soup.
Oh, Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
You get a ding.
Denny, I have some for you. I just couldn't get your attention.
Hey, on my way. Wait, phones are tight. We're good. Hold on.
Oh, this is such a great show today.
This show is just totally out of control.
Do you know what makes the soup so creamy? No dairy, but use a submergible blender. When you've got all your roots, you just bzz, 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 and then that makes it creamy.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
It's sweeter than I expected, too.
There's a little sweet potato in there.
Mm-hmm.
And the carrots will do that.
Mm. Brunch.
Just imagine if it were a cold day, it would have been even more perfect.
Kim, I wanted to ask, how many families do you serve with your CSA?
Okay.
You said you wanted to keep it small.
We do, yeah. We never wanted to get more than 100. So last year we were 44 and a half full members. So we offer a half share option versus a full share option. So that translated to 62 families. So it was 60% half shares and 40% full share members.
Okay.
Is that too many numbers? That's kind of confusing. Uh-uh.
Okay. I love that you offer, half share for smaller families or single people.
Yeah, but you know what's funny? Kath is a solo living person. Like, she lives on her own, and she's a full share member. So just in the range of, like, to be able to define, like, if you should be a full share member, you should be a half share member, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Does
so
it depend
what,
on the
what do you do
food?
With all those vegetables, Kath?
A lot of times I will use, especially the kale in smoothies, and I know some people don't like to make a smoothie out of kale because they feel like they have to eat it fresh and have it as a salad. I will definitely use it as a smoothie, and a lot of different vegetables I will use as well. But I also cook for other people, and I like to share the wealth.
Yeah.
You know, our town has the brewer guys in here, and we've got the potato soup. I like them both. You know, I'm not going to complain about either. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and last week you got a nice, beautiful plant.
I love it when people bring stuff.
Yeah.
So for next week's show.
Whoever's on. Well, I don't know yet. All right, let's get to the CSAs because we just have a few more minutes here. You mentioned that there's a way to find out where you can get become part of a CSA in your area. And that's Local Harvest is a great place. There's also, if you go to familyfarm.org, although they have the 2012 list still up.
I'm sure they'll update it soon.
I know the local beat does that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Local Harvest and clicked on it and found the listing for you.
Yep.
You got 5 stars.
We're special.
You are. I was in. Wait. Give them a bell for that. 5 stars.
Do you know what's interesting is when somebody engages with me about should I be a CSA member, should I be a farm stand or farmer's market customer, you know, it just depends on what you're looking for. And really what we find is that we want people to like the idea of our farm, you know, be connected with us. So it's all about relationships and who and how you're looking to get your produce. So a farm stand or farmer's market might work better for some folks. You know, they like to choose the options versus with the CSA, you get a box of vegetables based on what's ready out in the field. And some people like that excitement. They refer to it as like a gift or like a Christmas present that comes each week. And, oh, look what we get this week. And so you're getting exposed to, say, garlic scapes. Maybe you're not used to getting those. Certainly you can get those at the farmer's market, but will they sell out by the time you get there? You know, salad turnips, you know, Hakurai turnips. Amazing. Love them. But you're not necessarily going to find those everywhere. So you're getting exposed to maybe vegetables or items that you otherwise wouldn't.
Well, I want to ask Kathleen, since you were part of the CSA, what was the best part of it? You took a full share and you mm-hmm. managed to find uses mm-hmm. for all of it. You still got stuff stored for the winter?
I do. I have a lot of the root vegetables stored for the winter. What was the best part? I think one of the best things was that the taste of the food is absolutely fabulous. I know that the food is organic. I know my grower. I can go to the farm anytime that I want to and see what's growing and be able to I've volunteered a little bit there to help.
She's a leek goddess.
Yep.
Yes. What do you do with your leeks?
Kim goes through and harvests them, and then I go behind her and I trim them so that they look beautiful.
While she's harvesting, are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to have CSA people on the farm?
I think so.
Oh, okay. It's whatever you want to do, huh?
Absolutely, well, yes. It's a volunteer, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, you're a volunteer on the farm?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize. I just thought you were being OCD, you know, with your vegetables.
She wanted her own. Yeah,
I'm gonna trim them the way I want them.
No, she had some time and she wanted to come out and help, and we put her to use.
Yeah, it was hundreds of leeks that mm-hmm. were trimmed. So
yeah, each box got 5. So 5 times 40 boxes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And you make smoothies.
Among other
not
things,
with
absolutely.
Leeks though.
Yeah.
Not with leeks. No.
Well, and Kath also, I'm speaking for her here, but she also does a lot of raw food. So mm-hmm. for raw foodies out there in the world, you know, CSA box or, you know, access to tons and tons of vegetables is great.
So I'm going to let folks know that I've got the link to Local Harvest up on my website, mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show. I've also got the link to the Family Farmed there. And, you know, as you get into the season, you know, sign up early, because I imagine it's better for you when people sign up early, and then you have you're really more aware of what you're going to be able to do in the season.
Absolutely, yeah. I really like knowing that I have my customers covered, so mm-hmm. that I can plan how much to grow. You know, it's not so much of a guesswork of how much to plant. Absolutely.
I got a tweet here, 2 tweets. One is, and I think we mentioned it earlier, if you have listeners near Naperville, Green Earth Institute has 2013 share now. So there's available. And another tweet at the beginning of the segment, you said commuter farming. What does that mean?
That means I don't live on site. We live an hour away from the farm. So that's a struggle.
And I understand you're trying to move a little closer now.
That's a conversation, yeah, we're jumping into and trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I understand driving to work and getting there, but it's a lot easier if you're close by, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It's taking a toll, that's for sure.
Well, listen, Kim Marson and Kathleen Gray, thank you so much for being here. Feel free to sit here as we continue the show. I don't want you to leave yet, because I've still got soup.
Great.
And we might want to get a couple of photos or something outside. And I hope you don't mine and that you'll stick around. And again, if you want the information on Sweet Home Organics, go to my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. I've got the link there. But if you just want to do that yourself, it's sweet-home-organics.com.
Yes.
And the CSA information, of course, is up on the site. You also sell at a farm stand.
We have an on-site farm stand. That's right. Yep.
And the and when's that open?
So that'll be open again in May. So May through October, Saturdays in May, and then June Thursdays and Saturdays, June through October.
Cool.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's a pleasure meeting you in person. Finally,
I know.
This is great.
It's fun.
The reviews continue to pour in about the Christmas trees at Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center in the Ukrainian village of Chicago. Here's a tribute that was just posted on Facebook. Thanks, greatest and biggest tree we have ever had, 13 feet and as fresh as it gets. Christy Weber is proud of the trees they have in stock, from 2 to 14-foot tall Fraser firs, Douglas firs, concolors, and more. Whatever you need, they'll set you up with the perfect one. And don't forget this offer. Mention the Mike Novak Show and get free delivery and free pickup after the season. And yes, they'll recycle the tree. So just mentioned this show and they'll do that for you. Folks keep telling them that they have the widest variety of poinsettias in town with so many different colors to choose from. You'll just have to stop by and see for yourself. And Christy Weber just opened her wild bird department with everything you need to bring the birds to your backyard this winter and every other season. Join the holiday fun at Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center, 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian village. And by the way, as I mentioned earlier, they were just awarded a People Love Us on Yelp certificate. I'm trying to get one of those myself.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
We just had a caller wanted to know what CSA stood for. We mentioned it earlier, but again, community supported agriculture. And the idea is that people support the people who grow the food on a very, it's not like, you know, the farmer just sends it off to market and then doesn't know who buys it. You're looking at the person,
right,
or you talk to the person, you communicate with the person who buys the food
yep.
you grow.
Yep. And we offer weekly newsletters. All farms do this mainly.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's kind of like subscription farming.
Yep.
Yeah.
People refer to it as like a co-op, that sort of thing.
That's kind of the way it is.
Yep.
All right. If this, in 60 seconds, we have Jennifer Walling from the Illinois Environmental Council talk about IDNR. If this already seems like the longest holiday season in the history of the world, there's only one thing I can say. You're right. Never fear. I'm here to ease the pain. Make your life easy easier by giving the gift of gardening to a friend. Get your loved ones a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. The November-December issue gives you a preview of why this is such a good idea. Our very own Beth Botts has an article about the benefits of dormant pruning. You know, this is when you grab your loppers and your mittens and head out into the icy fang to shape your favorite trees and shrubs. Of course, if it's not so icy yet. And if you want to cultivate some indoor plants, there's a story that has advice from local experts about which plants will give you the best color indoors. And I know it's scary, but I have two articles in this issue. I write about my favorite plant, which is not really my favorite plant. You'll have to pick up the magazine to find out what that's about. And after you see what I do to your favorite Christmas carols, you'll understand why Santa has put me on his enemy combatant list. Chicago Magazine, Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over town, or get a subscription. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Let's go to the phone line and bring in Jennifer Walling, who is the executive director of the Illinois Environmental Council. How you doing, Jennifer?
I'm good. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning to you. I've got you on, and this is kind of a quick segment, but I wanted to bring people up to date with what's been going on down in Springfield. And one of the ways I know what's going on in Springfield in terms of environmental issues is because of Jennifer Walling, who sends me notices. And then I do what I can to follow up. And there were a couple of big ones. I'm going to start with the quickie we can get out of the way, which is that really, really bad recycling bill that came up in the veto session just the other day. And as you recall, it got vetoed by Governor Quinn earlier this year after the Grays Lake girl, she was 12 years old, I guess, at the time, got over 150,000 signatures from people who said this is a really bad bill. And the governor actually paid attention. Of course, we were saying that, too. You were saying that. I was saying that. A lot of environmental organizations were saying that. Right, Jennifer?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. But obviously, having so much media support and getting out there was really important. I mean, we were unable to save what was the good portion of the bill that would have established a statewide plastic bag recycling program. But, you know, having local communities be able to make their own decisions about recycling is, it will be taking more out of our landfills than what the bill proposed. So it was you know, good to override the veto. It was 24-23 in the Senate, and they needed 36 votes. So that one went down in flames. So that was a big win for the environment.
And then the other thing you alerted me to was that there was a funding that passed for the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. Explain a little bit about that.
This is exciting and a huge win. Basically, the Department of Natural Resources in Illinois has been halved in the last 8 years, and the staff has been halved. It's basically just been torn apart, and we don't have a department that can protect our natural resources. And so this is a bill that it's a series of fees, but one of them is a $2 surcharge on passenger vehicle registrations, and it funds gives about $32 million to the Department of Natural Resources, half for operations and half for construction in our state parks. And so this is really something that we think is going to keep our state parks open. It's going to improve them. And I know, Mike, you're concerned, too, about you know, the department also does mining operations. And I think this is really something that it gives us leverage to work with the department on improving the permit process and also just looking at enforcement and that sort of stuff with really protecting those areas. So we are really thrilled about what happened.
Yeah, that's the point where I'm concerned in that it felt like the IDNR was paying more attention to the mining aspect of their mission than the natural resources aspect of it. With the new funding, do you think they're going to have more staff and more ability to protect our natural resources in the same manner that they do deal with the mining interests?
Definitely. The Defense Department is going to do a better job, but I think it's still, even though we're delighted about this and we worked really hard, we still need to hold the department's feet to the fire to make sure that they're doing what's right for the environment with the other portion that's not state parks, with their mining interests. And also, you know, we have a big interest in new land acquisition, preserving new land in Illinois, and we need to make sure the department is still doing those functions.
Yeah, but that's not really going to affect anything right now. It's just to be clear about this, if folks are wondering, it's not really going to affect immediately anything that's happening at Starved Rock in regard to that mine, right?
No, it's not. No. And I know a lot of groups are working very hard on that. It's not going to affect what's happening with that permit, but, you know, we really think that, you know, in addition to getting more funding from DNR and using our political capital on that, I think that a lot of legislators are very concerned about this Starved Rock mining issue, and it's going to give us a lot of sway and a really good argument in being able to change those to make the laws better for the public and for environment.
Well, that's a really good point, Jennifer, and I'm glad you brought that up, because when I sit here and I speak into the microphone and I hear from folks, you know, I hear from folks who live there in LaSalle and are affected by it, and folks who are concerned about the Starved Rock State Park because they love the park and they don't want it to go away and they don't want it to be damaged. I don't hear from legislators. And from what you're saying, it has kind of gotten their ear, I take it.
Well, the Illinois Sierra Club has just done a tremendous job of having people contact their legislators. And there's been a coalition involved with it as well. But Sierra Club members have really done an awesome job of contacting their legislators. And all the time I'm hearing from legislators about, what can I do? Is there something I can do with this? And ultimately, they can't affect the permit decision. But if we need to change the law to make sure that this doesn't happen again, then legislation is the way to go.
Well, you know, all well and good. I hope the law gets changed. Actually, you know, I talked to Mark Miller at IDNR, who said, yeah, we probably need to have some laws changed. And I said, is it going to be in time to help Starved Rock? And he said, well, maybe not. So that means that we still have to take action about that. And I'm with you. I applaud the Illinois Sierra Club for all the work that they've done on it. And you should go to their website if you're listening to this and make sure you know how to contact your state legislature, legislator, so that we still, you know, there's still things that can be done to prevent that mine from happening, although it seems we get closer to it every day, unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jennifer Walling, thank you so much. I'm going to have you in here in the studio sometime soon, and we'll go over our laundry list of environmental issues, and I appreciate you keeping me up to date.
Thanks, Mike.
Hey, all right. That's...
we're at time.
Oh, real quick. We've got just enough time. You and I went to
talk about our event.
Oh. Bill McKibben. We went to see Bill McKibben speak on...
Wednesday night. It was part of the Do the Math Tour,
right.
Which started the day after the... Bill McKibben for the speakers on climate change.
Yeah, he started 350.org. And the idea is that we got to stop pumping carbon into the atmosphere. And he stood up on stage and he did the math. And it's terrifying.
It is terrifying. I think to boil it down, what the most scary part of it is that we have more to burn than we have.
And his idea is disinvest from those the fossil fuel industries. And we'll talk about more about
that. Check out your website for some information.
All that information is up there. Until next week, go green or
go home.